Okay, so what I said, if you didn't hear me, is I was really panicking down there because I couldn't find my Bible or my notes. And his Bible looks a lot like mine. And I kept looking, thinking, he folded them and he put them in there. And I had my marker in where I'm reading and it's not there. Oh, what am I going to do? Thank you for bringing my Bible up here, honey. Appreciate it. Next time, tell me. Yeah. You all are so gracious. So gracious. I appreciate and love all of you so much. He did not mention that we do have background check forms for volunteer opportunities in the nursery, and these are available if you, is that something you would like to help serve? And it is a ministry, and it's a ministry that you have to remind yourself many times, this is a ministry. But it's such a blessing to mothers, so they can enjoy the service. So, oh, God bless. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you that are mothers. I always feel a little strange preaching on Mother's Day because I'm like, everybody there's not a mother. But everyone has a mother, has had a mother. You are a mother, or you hope to be a mother someday. So we can always learn from the truth from the Word of God. The Lord has had to talk to me a lot this week because I have been saying, well, I'm just going to get this over with. I'm just going to do it. Sunday will come and Sunday will go and get it over with. And the Lord convicted me that this is an honor and a privilege to share anything from His Word. It is a privilege that I should not take that way of just, let's just do it. Just let's get it done. And you know, I've observed people in the church and different passions that they have. If you talk to Dave Kelly, you're going to hear about running, exercising, bicycling, because it's a passion of his, okay? If you talk to Landon and his dad, you're going to hear about their favorite sports team. I don't know if it's still the Chiefs or not. Is it, Ray? Okay. You're going to hear about them because that's their passion, okay? If you talk to Daisha Barger or Jeff Dowdy, I don't know if either one of them are here, you're going to hear about the Kentucky Wildcats. I mean, you just are, okay? That is why I'm up here today, because one of my passions, other than Jesus, is motherhood. It's just been a journey in my life that I cannot describe how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is, not only to my biological children, but I have daughters in love, I have grandchildren, but I have spiritual children, and some of them are here today, and one of them drove 2 hours to be here today, Latoya. She's my daughter. Okay. And I'm especially privileged to have my youngest son, Drew, here today too. Drew and Noel. Wave your hand, Drew, for those that don't know him. So I'm doing this because I'm so passionate about motherhood that I'm willing to stretch myself. It's good. It's a good to stretch yourself and get uncomfortable. So today we honor mothers and their influence, good or bad. You know, the word mother is not synonymous with saint. And I realize that there are loving mothers, and then some of you here didn't have such a great mother. And there are mothers that are selfish and neglectful, but most of us find ourselves somewhere in between, and I hope and pray that you can, if you didn't have a good mother, that you can aspire to be different in your life and reach out to others in a different way. Did anybody have a mom fail this week? Hashtag mom fail. I see that a lot. Where you just felt like I lost my temper. I was unorganized. Maybe you had one today. Anybody have a mom fail today? Okay. All right. We all have them. One night I was standing out here at the coffee bar and there was a mother in our church. It was Sunday morning, I guess it was. And there was a mother in our church that was feeling so terrible because she was buying her child a bag of chips for breakfast. And she was like, I'm such a terrible mom. And I said, hey, it's corn chips. That's a vegetable, right? Or what about Cheetos? That's dairy, right? You know, you're not, I have seen that same mother lovingly wiping the tears of her children. You know, we have good days, we have bad days. Jesus loves us and forgives us for all. Irma Bombeck said, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up on the job every day. Okay, 24/7. Childbirth is the easy part. There's no epidural for motherhood, okay? You can have an epidural for the childbirth, but you can't have it for life, okay, for motherhood. So being a mom brings great joy and rewards, but it is work, okay? It's work. We all know that. I was listening to a song this week by Jimmy Needham called If I Ever Needed Grace, It's Now. And I thought about that. There's many days going through life being a mom that you just need the grace of God, okay? And the words that chorus are, if I ever needed grace, it's now. You are strong when I am weak somehow. I'm weak enough to see that I need you to cover me. If I ever needed grace, it's now. So I've often said that if I could just close my eyes up here and sing my sermon to you, I would be okay. But I can't do that. And there was a man at the gym this week when I was working out, Gary. And he said, you're going to have a big weekend this weekend? And I said, yeah. And he told me that at his church, the two biggest Sundays are Easter and Mother's Day. And again, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not a time for you to get up there and give a motivational speech. There may be people here today that this is the only time you're going to hear the gospel. And I just want to talk to you about a loving God that put all of the, it was his idea to create mothers and motherhood. It was his idea. So I want to remind you today, if you have a godly heritage, be thankful. I know some of you are here today because you didn't have a choice, okay? It was just, you had to come, okay? No choice. I know there are others here today that you had a choice, and God bless you. And you, please come back next week if it's your first week and hear our amazing pastor. Some of you knew I was speaking and you still came. God bless you, okay? But if you have a godly heritage, I had a wonderful godly heritage, and I thank God for that. And the verse in Proverbs 1:8 that says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions and don't reject your mother's teaching. Okay? You know, I never really thought about people not having a good upbringing. I was so naive because I had such a good upbringing until I met Eric. And I realized that homes not necessarily always are loving. And the longer that we are pastors, the more I've come to realize how broken homes really are. And it's kind of like the farmer's insurance quote. We know some things because we've seen some things, okay? The issues and struggles in our life so many times can be traced back to a lie that you believed. So for just a second, I want to talk about to women and the lies that we believe. You know, the devil does a good number on us, and he makes you think that your self-worth revolves around being a wife and a mother. Or he makes you think if you just have children that you're going to be worth something. He makes you think, I've made too many mistakes to be of any use to the Lord, to God. He makes you think, if you're single, if I just had a husband. If you're married, if I could just get rid of this husband. Okay? Mothers, if my kids were grown, barren, if I could just have a child, if I just had more money, if I just had a different house, if I could just lose 25 pounds, those are all lies, okay? They're lies from the enemy to discourage you and to hold you back. What you believe about God will affect every part of your life. And you need to believe that you are who He says you are, as we sang today. Not believe the lies from the enemy that wants to hold you back. The Lord, in 1 Samuel, the Lord does not look at people the way people look at people outwardly. The Lord looks at your heart. So renew your mind. Don't believe the lies from the enemy that you have to be certain things or do this or do that to be worth something to God. God loves you. We need to look at God's Word to show us the truth that sets us free. And the lies for the enemy, they'll hold you back. Let go of past mistakes and walk in forgiveness. You know, Eve just believed if I were smarter, I'd be like God. Okay? Rachel and Leah. One of them, if I could just have children. The other one, if I could have more children. Lot's wife, if I could just get one more look back. And that was disastrous for her. Sarah, if I can just help God, then we'll have the promised child. Okay? Let's depend on the Lord for our worth. There's a story. In 1871, in Indiana, a German baker and his wife, they had a son. They named him Charles. He grew up as a devout Methodist. But he had a violent temper, and he would often get in fights. And it was destructive for him. He would often get in fights with other people. And one night he attended a revival service, and he gave his heart to the Lord. The Holy Spirit dealt with him, and he gave his heart to Jesus. And he grew so much spiritually. He began to study the Word, and he grew so close to God. And then he became an evangelist, and he started preaching. And he had a wife and one daughter, and they traveled with him to these evangelistic meetings. But his wife became dissatisfied, and he went on preaching. And then one night at a revival service, he got word that there was trouble at home. So him and a friend fell on their face before God and prayed. And a few months later, his wife told him, "I don't like this life. I don't like being an evangelist's wife. I'm done." And so he put his wife and his daughter on a train back to California. And he had to depend on God through this brokenness in his life and this broken time in his life. And about 5 years later, he wrote a song. And it goes like this. "I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus, how I found in him a friend so kind and true. And I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me." That's what I want you to know today. No one has ever cared for you like Jesus, and no one ever will. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, God made us to be who we are, and we're special because we're the only ones that can grow life, okay? God made us that way. Just the miracle of conception and pregnancy and childbirth is awesome when you just think only God could do that and create that. It's amazing. Only God can make it happen. And the nurturing instincts that God puts in us. And I've had the awesome privilege of watching this in my own family as I watched Allie, my daughter-in-law, be such a good mother to Grayson and Emmett, my two little grandsons, and how she just nurtures and loves and protects and how they grew in her and she delivered them. But I've also had the awesome, awesome privilege of watching Emily, my daughter-in-law, love and nurture Madeline, who did not grow in her, but oh my goodness, the love that God gives women in our hearts to love no matter what. I'm so excited for Kelly today, her first Mother's Day with Micah, and I watch her and she loves that baby. God gave us the awesome ability to love, whether or not they grow in us or just in our hearts. Emily is an amazing mother for Madeline, and it's beautiful to watch the nurturing that the Lord gives us as women. So I got to thinking about the qualities, just four qualities of women that come straight from the heart of God. Four characteristics. You can see the beauty of a mother. And the first one is sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sacrificed. And moms, you sacrifice all the time for your kids. You sacrifice sleep. You sacrifice food. If there's enough and only for them or you, you're going to let your kids eat, most likely. You sacrifice time. I've heard Eric tell the story of his mom, precious, precious mother-in-law that I had, Amber. They were so poor that she would cook the bacon. We had some bacon, and she would cook it for them to eat, and she would let her sons eat the bacon, and she would take her toast and dip it in the drippings and give them the bacon. And I'm like, that's sacrifice, okay? Because I like bacon, okay? That is sacrifice. But that's one of the qualities of mothers that I've observed, that most mothers are going to sacrifice whatever they have to for their kids. And God is the ultimate, gave the ultimate sacrifice in his son Jesus to us. Mothers protect. According to bear.org on the internet, 70% of human deaths caused by grizzlies are related to a mother protecting her cub. And you've heard the term, mama bear. Oh, you don't want to see the mama bear come out, okay? Mothers protect. Well, you know what? God protects. In Psalms 121, great verse, 8 verses. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. I think I have a different version. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He's protector. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming, your going, both now and forevermore. The Lord protects us. And that quality that mothers got came straight from him. Another characteristic that God it has that we see in mothers is comfort. Comfort in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Your kids need to know that you're there and that you're going to be there for them. And they need to hear you tell them that you love them and that you're going to, everything is okay. I'm here. Everything's okay. I remember as a child, if it was storming, and I would crawl in the bed with my parents in the middle between my mom and dad. I was scared, and there was not a more comforting feeling than to be there in between my parents knowing it's okay, I'm going to be all right because they're here. And I want you to know the Lord wants the same for you. He wants you to know he's there for you. It's okay. He's there. He'll take care of you. He'll be there for you. And the fourth characteristic is love. 3 John 1:4. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Sacrificial love of the Lord. He loves us like none other. I want to tell you a few things that I've learned. Being a mother, I've learned that stepping on Legos at 2 p.m. in the night will make you think thoughts and words that you would not want put up there. I've learned, though, that teaching your kids personal responsibility is healthy. Teaching them to, you know, some people sing the cleanup song with their kids to pick up toys, and others get a trash bag out and say, you better hope you're faster than I am. I've also learned that there is not a worse sound than hearing your child throwing up in the middle of the night. But there's not a greater sound than hearing them say, I love you, Mama. My 24-year-old son that's here still calls me Mama, and I love it. I've learned that there are days when God might have slightly regretted the verse about spare the rod, as I have disciplined my kids in anger, okay? But then I also know those little legs, arms that wrap around your leg, you know, and they hang on to you. That's the best touch ever. I've learned that having a 2-year-old is like having a blender for which you don't have the top. Okay? But you know what? A 2-year-old can make you forget instantly that you've had a bad day. They can. They just have that ability to just make all your troubles go away. I've learned that when your children are teenagers, it's important to have a dog so that somebody in the house is happy to see you. But you know what? It's also so rewarding as your kids grow up and you can interact with them as adults and you see them catching on to the things you've taught them and you think, well, thank you, Lord, that I didn't kill them and that they are learning and they're catching on, okay? That's rewarding. I've learned that that's so rewarding as my sons are grown and they're married and I see them men. And I see how they treat their wives, and I see how they work hard, and it's rewarding to see, thank you, God, that you helped us raise these kids. I've also learned that a worried mother, she does better research than the FBI. She can find you and know what you're doing better than any FBI agent. I've learned that going to the grocery by yourself is a vacation. It is a vacation. I've learned that dads are able to make themselves invisible. Because, here's how I know that. A child will walk right past dad sitting on the couch and go bang on the door of the bathroom for mom to open their fruit snack, okay? They'll walk right past dad and go to mom for her help. So I don't know how they do it, but they make themselves invisible where kids don't even see them there, okay? I've learned that toddlers have a to-do list. They ask for the waffle. They refuse the waffle. Then they ask why their waffle was taken away, and they cry because they don't have a waffle, okay? So toddlers are... They can be challenging. And then and one more thing, and then I'm going to get back to my scriptures, is I learned a new word. The new word is shower schizophrenia. You know what that is? That's constantly thinking that you can hear a child crying while you're trying to take a shower, okay? You constantly think, oh, they're crying. And that's called shower schizophrenia. And it's just moms, okay? Moms just have that ability to multitask and hear and see and do all of it at the same time. So what I really, really want for my children, which is what the Lord first started talking to me about in this sermon, as I was praying, and I'm like, what do I really want for my kids? What do I really want? Well, I want them to love the Lord with all their heart, soul and mind. I want them to ask God for guidance in their life, for decisions. And I want them to hear God's voice. I want them to be healthy in every area of their life. And I want them to be respectful. And I want them to have high character, high morals, good work ethic. That's what I want for my children. And then as I kept praying and meditating on it, I thought, well, what I really am saying is, I just want my children to be blessed. Lord, I want my children to be blessed. So I thought of a scripture, two stories in the scripture. The verse in 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That sums it up, okay? But the two stories in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, first of all, is Hannah. And these two women that I'm going to talk about real quickly, that's what they wanted. They wanted their children to be blessed, okay? And there's a right way to do that, and there's a wrong way to do that. So the right way is Hannah. And I'm just going to read a few verses here real quick. There was a certain man named Elkanah, and he had two wives. One was Hannah, and the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Okay, Hannah was barren. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. And where the two sons of Eli were, priests of the Lord. And when the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah. And he would give a double portion to Hannah because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival, Peninnah, kept taunting her and provoking her just to irritate her. And year after year, this went on. And when Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, she would cry and she wouldn't eat. And her husband said, "What's wrong, Hannah? What's the matter? Why don't you eat?" And then he said, like most men would say, "Am I not more important to you than 10 sons?" Okay? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost, and in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow. She said, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." She kept praying, and Eli observed her praying and her mouth moving, and he went to her and he thought she was drunk, and he said, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." And she said, "Oh, no, no, no. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Don't take me for a wicked woman. I have been praying here and out of my great anguish and grief." And he said to her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." So she left. Story goes on. And she conceived and gave birth to Samuel. She did just that. She took him, as after she weaned him, she took him to the Lord's house and dedicated him to the Lord. And actually, he ended up living there with the priest Eli. And we see Samuel's very existence was due to prayer. A praying mother. His very existence. She prayed for this child, and God gave her her request. And she made a vow to give him back to the God, and she put him directly under the influence of the house of prayer. You know what? When you look at that, no wonder Samuel developed into a man of prayer. And then as a small child, and he's thinking he's hearing Eli saying, "Samuel, Samuel," in the middle of the night, and he's like going to Eli, "Yeah, what do you want?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you." He goes back and lays down. He did that three times. Keeps hearing his name, and he keeps going back. And finally, he realized he's hearing the voice of God. Who doesn't want that for their children, right? You want them to hear the voice of God. You want them to be a man of prayer. You want them to, you know, later over in 1 Samuel 7, when there was a battle, Samuel 7:12, Samuel took a stone and set it up. There was a battle, and they won. They beat the Philistines. And Samuel is the one that said this. He named the place Ebenezer. "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Samuel was a man of prayer. He knew where his help came from. He knew they won the battle because of God. And he gave God the glory and the honor, saying, "Lord, thus far you have helped us." So when crisis came and they demanded a king again, what did Samuel do? It says he went to the Lord in prayer. So when he had a decision to make and didn't know what to do, he went to the Lord in prayer. And so Hannah did it the right way. She blessed the Lord. She prayed for the child. She held up her part. She obeyed. She followed through with her vow and blessed him. There's another example in Genesis 25. And I'm not going to read a whole lot of it, but we see Rebecca. The story is sad to me. In Genesis 25, again, Rebecca, she's married to Isaac. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. Okay, again, Hannah was barren, Rebecca was barren, wanted children, and they prayed. And so the Lord granted their request, and she was going to have twins. And there was a struggle. Scripture talks about the babies inside her struggling. And there was a word spoken that says, there's two nations in your womb, and two people from within. You will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. And that was, I don't know if they knew. I mean, they took the seriousness of that, but that was a prophetic word, okay? So the boys were born, and Esau was the oldest. And I know you know this story, but I'm going to read a little bit of it here. I don't know where I want to start and read it all. Okay, so she gave birth to twin boys. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was hairy. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother was born, and his hand grasping Esau's heel, and he was named Jacob. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skilled hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebecca loved Jacob. That's a warning right there, okay? We don't play favorites with our kids. We love them all the same, okay? Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, and he said to Jacob, I'm so hungry. Quick, let me have some of that stew. I'm famished. And Jacob said, well, let me first sell you my birthright. First sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is that birthright to me? You know, he didn't understand the importance of that, that for an it was an eternal inheritance, and he was willing to trade it just for something physical, you know, for a physical appetite. So he did. Jacob gave Esau some bread and some stew. He ate and drank, and he got up and left, and Esau had disesteemed. He didn't value his birthright. So, later on, Isaac's about to die, and he says, bring my oldest son to me, Esau, so that I can bless him. And Mama Rebecca's listening, and she heard him say that. And so she's like, but I want Jacob to have the blessing, not Esau. So she devised a plan to trick Isaac, who was old and blind, devised a plan to manipulate the plan so that her favorite child would get the blessing, not Esau. And it was customary for the oldest child to have the blessing. So she devised a plan to trick and had Jacob go, quick, go get some game out there, and I'll make some food just exactly the way Isaac likes it. And she tricked him, you guys know the story, with making Isaac think that it was his oldest son, Esau. And ended up, Isaac blessed the younger son. He had forgotten, I guess, about the word before they were born, that the younger would serve the older. Is that how it goes? Yeah, the younger would serve the older. So, what's that? The older would serve the younger, yeah. I say that story because it's so opposite of Hannah's when she blessed and held up her vow to the Lord. Rebecca devised a plan and manipulated it to go the way she wanted it to. And just like we see Hannah, Samuel's life was blessed because of his, our actions have generational consequence, okay? What we do today is going to affect the next generation and the next generation. And that's what happened in Samuel's life. And that's what also happened in Rebecca's family, okay? Isaac later on. I mean, there was a pattern of deception and being deceitful. All because they both wanted their children to be blessed. One did it the right way. One did it their own way rather than God's way. And you just see Jacob and Esau, there was deception. Then later, Jacob was deceived by Laban as he worked to marry Rachel. And the father tricked him and gave him the other daughter. And you see that deception just followed them through their life. And as a mother, one of the greatest blessings that you can have children in your life is a praying mom. And I just hope that every woman in here today will vow to be a praying mother. If you don't pray for your children, who's going to? I mean, you've got to pray, especially in the world we live in today. If you're still raising kids, pray for them. If you have grandchildren, you can be a godly influence on them. One of my most precious memories of my mom is her. Noelle was asking me about my mother and my father yesterday, wanting to know just kind of some, you know, what were they like? What was their personalities like? And my mom was a very serious woman, good mom. No doubt that my mom loved me, but she was real serious. And one of my most vivid memories of my mom, I've probably told you this before, maybe some of you haven't heard it, is when I would get off the school bus and I would go in the house after school and she would be praying. Many, many, many days she was in the praying. And she prayed in the bathroom. We had one bathroom in our house because it was dark. There was no window. And she would shut the door and it was pitch dark and you did not bother her when she was praying. You didn't beat on the door because she wouldn't answer it. And I could hear her in there just praying and crying out to God. And I remember that so many times when, if I went through hard times in my life, I think, you know, I had a praying mom. And I want to be that kind of praying mom for my kids. Because that's one of the greatest blessings that your kids can ever have as a praying mom. 1% of a child's time is spent in Sunday school. 7% of their time is under the influence of school. And the other 92% is under the influence of your home. So let's make it count for the Lord, okay? 92% of your child's time is going to be under your influence at home. In Mark 10, the people, I love the story where they were bringing them to the children to Jesus, and the disciples got upset and they said, get those kids out of here. We don't have time for them. And Jesus rebuked them. He did not like that at all. And he said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on him, and he blessed them. We won't be effective at bringing our children to Jesus unless we have been with him first. You will not be effective. I'm saying again, you will never be effective at bringing your children to Jesus unless you have been with him first. Make him a priority. When we pray, we teach our children. You teach them that you have a sincere relationship with a God. When they see and hear you pray, we teach them. We teach them that we actually believe in God and that he will hear and answer our prayers. When kids see you pray, actions speak louder than words. When they see you praying, they realize this is serious. That's what I learned from my mom, that she took her relationship with the Lord very serious, and that I must too. And then when you pray the word, your children learn what you believe about God. So dedicate your children to God in prayer. I have a prayer that I remember when some missionaries came and they said, if you ever want to know what to pray, and we still pray that. Peggy and I have talked a lot about this. We still pray that for our missionaries. They say, if you ever want to know what to pray, pray the word what. Pray for wisdom. Pray for health. Pray for our adjustments in the new country. And pray for the harvest. And I have never forgotten that. And so when I pray for our missionaries, I pray that way for them. Well, you know, we end our services with a blessing. The Lord bless you, keep you, and the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance on you and give you peace. And, you know, the Lord's name is mentioned three times in that. Three times, the Lord's name. And some commentaries believe that that's representative of the Trinity, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you, the Father. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Who gives us grace? Jesus, okay? His amazing grace. And the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Where's our peace come from? Our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, okay? I just thought that was kind of interesting because we do use that so much in our services that think about that when we say it again, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last thing I want to tell you is, first, I want to tell you a story, one more story, and then I got one more little thing. You know, nobody can recognize potential in a person quite like a mother. All of us are born with potential. And it's up to parents and mothers particularly to help bring that potential out of your children and help them excel and help them, you know, live up to the gifts and the talents that God has placed in them. In fifth grade, Benny, he was failing in school. He was just glad to get a D on the test. After all, it was better than that, the Fs that he was getting. So if he could just rise from the F up to a D, he was happy. But his mother did not share his excitement. She said, you cannot settle for just barely passing. You're too smart to do that. And she said, you can make the top math grade in the class. So, long before it was common in America, Benny's mother, she started a self-improvement program at home. She limited Benny and his brother to 3 TV programs a week. And she said, you've got to read 2 books every week, and I want you to write a report at the end of the week. She said, my boys are going to be successful in life because they're going to be the best readers in the school. So she pushed them. She saw potential there, and she pushed them. Well, Benny, he did become the best reader in school, and later he became famous for being the first neurosurgeon to successfully separate conjoined twins at the head. And he was head of the pediatrics neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. You know his name? Dr. Ben Carson, who 2 years ago was a candidate in the GOP presidential nomination. His mother saw potential and said, I am not happy with you just barely squeaking by. There's more in you than that. And she pushed him. Okay, moms, you know, see the potential in your children and help them excel by encouraging them and being there for them. I want to give you a way in closing that you can pray for your children. And I hope that you will pray over them every day, because what do we want for our children? We want them to be blessed. Okay? I want my children to be blessed. So I want you to just use the acrostic BLESS. And I have a wonderful devotional book at home written by Kay Swatskowski. Can't say her name. And this is how she prays for her grandchildren and children. So you, every day when you pray for them, you say, Lord, I want to bless my children. I want to bless my grandchildren. And I want to pray for their body. I want to pray for them that they will be physically well, and all their needs, they'll be protected. Psalm 91 is a great scripture of protection to pray over them. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. So pray for them physically. Pray for them in their labor, L. That may mean school. It may mean, if they're grown, their jobs. Pray for them as they go about their daily activities at work or school. Pray for their emotions, okay? Pray for them to be strong and healthy emotionally and to rely on the Lord and for them to mature like they are supposed to mature, healthy emotions. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart, your emotions, and your minds through Christ Jesus. So pray for your kids' emotions. Pray for them socially. It's important who they hang around with and who their friends are. Pray for their relationships. Pray for their future spouse. It's never too early to start praying. I don't care if your child is 2 years old, 1 year old Micah. You pray for Micah's wife that he will have one day. Pray for your children's co-workers at work. Pray for their teachers at school. Pray for them socially in all aspects of their life socially. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. It's real important that you pray for your kids and who they hang around with. And pray for them spiritually. Mark 12:30-31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there is no greater commandment than these. So pray for a growing relationship with Christ. Pray that your kids will totally sell out to the Lord. You pray for your kids in all these areas that they will be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And I believe you'll have what you pray for. If you don't know Jesus today, you're like, well, what does all this really mean? I want to tell you, no one has ever loved you more than Jesus. No one ever will. Had the best mother in the world, but she cannot compare to the love of Jesus. No greater love has anyone loved us than he could lay down his life. So, could I have everyone bow their heads? I just realized that I forgot to pray at the beginning. Let's pray first. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, you're awesome. You're the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of life. You created man and woman in your image, and you made mothers in your image, Lord, to love and protect and comfort and sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus, on the cross. And God, I pray that today, Lord, if there's people here, Lord, that don't know you, God, that you'll show yourself real to them. God, that they'll make a commitment today to turn their life to you 100% and serve you 100%. If you don't know Jesus today and you would like to invite him into your heart, could you just slip up your hand and let me pray with you? Let me pray with you that you can commit your life to Jesus and start on the pathway of a brand new life, a blessed life, one like you've never known before. I guess everyone here knows him. I'm thankful for that. Jesus, as we go today, Lord, I pray, God, that for every mother here, Lord, I pray a special blessing on her. Every female here, Lord, whether they're a mother or not, God, I pray a special blessing on them, God, that you would be faithful, Lord, to them. God, that you would nurture them and cradle them in your heart and your love, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless their coming in and their going out. God, I pray they would be physically strong and healthy, Lord. And I pray, God, you'll bless their relationships. Bless them emotionally, bless them spiritually, bless them, God, in every area of their life, Lord. God, I thank you that motherhood was your idea, and what a wonderful, wonderful blessing from you, Lord. So, God, we just as we honor mothers today, Lord, we honor you because it was your idea. We honor you today, Lord. God, go with us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. No, you go ahead. No.
Inkstand, please.